Luke 18, verse number 9, and we'll read down to the verse number 14. And he, that is Jesus, spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's bow together in a word of prayer, and we'll ask that the Lord will come and even speak to our hearts tonight. And perhaps you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved. I encourage you even now to bow your head and ask the God of heaven to come and speak to you, and even about your own spiritual condition. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do ask you for the strength and the help that we need to bring the word of God. We pray, O God, for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I do pray, Lord, for the message that we will bring. We ask that the gospel, although it may be a story that we've heard time and time again, we pray that tonight that it may come with a holy freshness. We pray that tonight, O God, it may come back with the endowment and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if there are those here tonight, Lord, and they're outside of Christ, and they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray earnestly for their souls. I pray, O God, that you'll save them and bring them to yourself. We realize that salvation is of the Lord. And Father, it doesn't matter how good or how bad the speaker is, but Father, the man's heart is hardened, and it needs the work of the Holy Ghost to do what only God can do. And Father, I pray that you will draw your people to yourself. Lord, give me much liberty and help in the proclamation of thy truth. Lord, I do pray for this church here. Lord, I do pray that you'll keep your hand upon them in the days that lie ahead. We pray, Lord, that you'll build up every work. You'll strengthen every leader. You'll equip, O God, and strengthen the eldership and committee. And Lord, I pray also for the Reverend McKee. The Spirit of God may infill him. That you, Lord, you may make him a powerful preacher in this place. And that many people would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ here. And Lord, we pray that that might begin tonight. Even that the Lord would save. For we ask these things in his precious name. Amen. Throughout the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he often ministered to various different types of people who possessed many different types of attitudes. Some possessed an attitude of jealousy, like the man in Luke chapter 12. Others possessed an attitude of carnality, like the young man in Luke or Matthew chapter 19. And others possessed an attitude that was respectful to what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching, like the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. But whenever you read through the Gospels from Matthew to John, you will find that the prevailing attitude of the day, and one which the Lord dealt with on many occasions, was the attitude of self-righteousness. Here in verse number 9 of Luke chapter 18, we are given a definition, a small definition, of what self-righteousness actually is. And he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised other. The self-righteous individual is an individual who looks no further for anything good than himself. He thinks that he is virtually and morally, by the works that he performs, better than the other people that would surround him. Now, this attitude was often associated with a particular group in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That group was called the Pharisees. And I believe that is who the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about when he says that he spake this parable unto certain. I believe the Pharisees here are the certain people that he was speaking to. And although these group of men prided themselves in knowing the scriptures, yet they did not understand them. God had given the Old Testament as a revelation. And as he gave that revelation of his holy truth, he gave it to men and they knew what it meant. But as the Pharisees received the word of God and they read the word of God and they learned it and they memorized it, yet they had it in their heads, but they did not understand it within their hearts. You see, they knew they had sinned. The Pharisees didn't doubt that they were sinners. They knew that they needed forgiveness, but they thought that a righteous standing with God was something that could be merited by works and not something that was received by faith. And whenever we even bring that into our modern day, and even perhaps into this congregation tonight, that belief, that attitude has never went out of history. There are still people today that think to themselves that they can be right with God and God can forgive them because of what they can do, because of the works that they can perform. But you know, self-righteousness is not just an attitude. It is also a belief. You take any major religion, they all teach acceptance with God is accomplished by human achievement. And I find myself on many occasions wondering why Jesus Christ, why would he spend so much time dealing and speaking to the Pharisees? Why would the Holy Ghost record such events in Scripture that we might know and read about them? And the answer simply is because there's still people in this world that think they are good enough to merit salvation. There are still people that say to themselves, well, I acknowledge, preacher, I'm not what you would call good living. I'm acknowledged, preacher, that I don't do things always right within my life. But you know what? I'm not bad enough for hell. I'm not bad enough for hell. And how many people do you not meet and they acknowledge that they've sinned and they acknowledge that they're a sinner before God, but they say, I am not bad enough. I'm not bad enough for hell. And so they carry on with this attitude and they carry on in this belief, thinking that somehow, by some way, by some means, that God will accept them by the works that they do. The Lord Jesus Christ cuts through all of this false religion. The Lord Jesus Christ does not leave these men in any doubt as to their spiritual standing. And so he tells them, he begins to speak to them and warn them, and he uses a parable to do that. He tells them of two men who would go up to the temple to pray. And as he's telling them about this parable, I believe the main thrust and the main emphasis of this parable is that the Lord wants to show them the right way to get right with God. The right way to get right with God. And that's what I want to speak on this evening. The right way to be right with God. And perhaps you're here this evening and you have other thoughts about God. You have other thoughts about the way that you can have your sin forgiven. Well, let me tell you, put them to the side. Let me point you to the Word of God tonight, because Jesus Christ himself has revealed the right way that you can be right with God tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ, in order to show us the right way to be right with God, he tells us about two different men who lived two different lifestyles and who said two different prayers. I want to deal first of all with two different men. The two different men presented to us here in Luke chapter 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray, verse 10. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now let's examine the two men that we are introduced to here in this parable. There's first of all the Pharisee. Now the Pharisees were a religious group, and they were made up of mostly middle class businessmen. And they endeavored in their lives to keep over 600 oral traditions or laws that have been passed down over the generations. And the reason why they passed the law down orally, and the reason why they had all these other traditions and laws, was because they didn't believe that the Old Testament could be understood. When God gave that revelation to Isaiah, they said, well, you needed a priest there in order to hear from Isaiah, to tell him exactly what God was meaning. And so they traced this long lineage of people who tried to interpret the Word of God, but failed. And so they had all these other traditions passed down by generation to generation and generation. Now, tradition in itself is not wrong. Tradition in itself is not wrong. We all have traditions that we keep year after year. But the problem was that they had taken these traditions and they had put them above or in equal par with Scripture. That was the problem that they had. Now, these men were very open in their piety towards God, as we will see later on in this portion of Scripture. But their central belief was this. They believed they could be accepted by God based upon their own efforts and on their own works. And we know why the Pharisees in this story, because the Lord's speaking to them. The Lord's trying to address and trying to arrest the conscience and the attention of the crowd that is before him. But what's the publican doing here? Why is the publican in this parable? Well, who was the publican? Well, the publican was not somebody that owned a pub. The publican was the tax collector. And the publicans were viewed as sellouts in the days of Jesus Christ. They had bought into the Roman tax franchise, and they went about on behalf of the Romans, and they collected taxes for the people. And whatever they got, they gave on to the Romans. There was a certain level they had to get. But whatever extra they managed to coerce out of the people, they could keep to themselves. So naturally, it was an employment filled with corruption and with deceit. And in order to get more money from the people, as you know yourself, you don't like to hand over your money to the tax man, they actually employed thugs who would go about the streets and they would rough people up to take their money from them. And so they robbed and they stole even more than what was required. And consequently to that, they were treated as outcasts. They were despised. They were looked down upon. They were the scum of society, hated by their own people. But they were the direct opposite to the Pharisee. We have been given tonight in this story two completely different men. One was an outwardly righteous man, the type of man that you would love to live beside, the type of man would be great to live in his neighborhood, but then you were living beside, or the other man was the publican. And he was a man you would hate to live beside. He was so ungodly and unrighteous in his deeds. What we learn by examining the differences between these two men is this: that your standing in society does not determine your standing before God. The Pharisee may have been accepted. The Pharisee may have been applauded for his righteous deeds throughout the community, but he wasn't accepted before God. The publican would have been despised and outcast, and people would have said, well, he's definitely a sinner. But he still was also cast out before God. And you can imagine the Pharisees, this self-righteous crowd, hearing about these two men. You can see their minds taking over what they were thinking. And they would have said, no, the Pharisee's good, but the publican is bad. But what we're going to see about this is it doesn't matter what the world thinks of you. Doesn't matter what the world thinks of you. The Pharisees thought that their man was the man that was going to go to heaven. But in fact, the tables turn. And I wonder this evening, have you ever thought about what God thinks of you? Perhaps you're someone and you have a great standing in this community. Perhaps someone, and outwardly, people might even say, well, they're a Christian because you live such a righteous life. But you know tonight that God looks past the exterior, and God can penetrate right into the very heart that you have, and God sees your sin. God sees the inward corruption. And although men would laud you and applaud you for all that you do, yet tonight you know when God looks at you, He hates your sin. Tonight you have to acknowledge that His wrath is upon you because of your sin, and that someday His judgment will come with such a force that it will shatter you for eternity. You see, the right way to be right with God is not by belonging to the right social class. It's not about how good outwardly you are or how accepted you are in this world. That was the two different men. But secondly, not just was there two different men, but they also lived two completely different lifestyles. Two different men with two very different lifestyles. Look with me there in verse number 11. The Pharisee here is praying. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. The Pharisee, before he begins to pray, he looks over and there he sees the old sinner, the old publican. And he uses the publican as the foundation for his prayer. Because in the life of the publicans, they were, as the Pharisee described, extortioners. They went about extracting more money. They abused the office that had been given to them by the government. And they stole from their fellow countrymen. But they're also unjust in their behavior. Oftentimes in the life of a sinner, when they're given great wealth and they have great material things around them, it often leads them into a life of greater sin and greater immorality, and they become unjust in all of their behavior. But not just was he an extortioner, not just was he unjust, but he was also an adulterer. And sin always takes you further than you want to go. This man had got his money. He had got it by an unjust way. And he carried on in his life, taking and partaking of things that were sinful and that were not his. With his wealth came defilement. And all these things that the Pharisees said were true, they were all true. They were all associated with the life of the publican. But what about the Pharisee? What does he say about himself? Verse number 12, he said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But the Pharisee said he fasted twice in the week. And this was above and beyond of what God had commanded in the Old Testament for his people to do. This was far exceedingly more than what God required. Then he said, I tithe all that I possess. And some of historians would actually tell us that when the Pharisees would have went to the market and they perhaps would have bought a bag of grain, they would have actually taken that bag of grain home and they would have divided out a tenth and they would have given that to the temple. Everything within their life was tithed and given to the work of God. And the Pharisee here, what we see is that he went above and beyond of what was expected. And to look at this man, we would say, well, surely he's a righteous man. He's at the temple. He gives to the Lord's work. And yet God looks in his heart. God doesn't look on the outward. He sees the heart. And what we learn from the different lifestyles of these men is this, that you can be outwardly cleansed or outwardly clean, but not inwardly cleansed. You can be outwardly clean, but not inwardly cleansed. You can have a life that appears to be holy and appears to be close with God, and yet your heart can be as far from Him as what it can be. Perhaps you have come to this meeting tonight. You've been coming here for years. Perhaps you're even convinced or you've even fooled people around about you into thinking that you're a believer, yet you're a Christian. You've come into the house of God and you've given even of your money, your tithe to the Lord. You go out during the week and you seek to get involved and be zealous and full of good works in the community that you're in. But what about your heart tonight? What about the heart? Is your heart far away from God? As you're sitting here, can you honestly say, well, there was a day when my heart was renewed. There was a day when I realized what I truly was with all my outward life and with all my outward living. I was still a wretched sinner. You see, the outward moral life is not the right way to get right with God. The right way to get right with God is not by living a life based on your outward performance. So these two men, they were two different men. They lived two different lifestyles, but notice with me as well, they said two different prayers. Verse number 11, and we've already read that, but let's read the publican's prayer in verse number 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You see, the prayers of these men now reveal their attitude. And the prayers of these men also now reveal what they truly believe about God, about sin, and about judgment, and about the right way to be right with God. Their prayers also determine what way they would leave the house of God that day. But their prayers ultimately show us what these men were depending on and trusting in for salvation. Let's look at the Pharisee's prayer in verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He stood. Now, it wasn't uncommon for the Jews to stand when they would pray. There's nothing out of the ordinary here. It was actually quite common when they would go into the temple after offering their sacrifice. They would go and they would find a place to stand within the temple and they would pray inwardly to themselves. But notice what it goes on to say that he stood. And these are the interesting words. He prayed thus with himself. He prayed by himself. The prayer of a self-righteous person goes no further than the room that they are in. The prayer of a self-righteous person is not true communion with God. It is simply communion with self. And perhaps you're here tonight and you acknowledge, well, you know what, I have been living this self-righteous life. That's been my attitude and that's been my belief. But I prayed and I prayed and I say my prayers. Well, let me remind you tonight what the Word of God says. Your prayers do not go any further. You pray thus with yourself, God is not there. You have no one to mediate between you and God. You're by yourself and you're on your own. He offered that prayer. But we also see from this prayer that he genuinely thought that he was a good person. He fasted, he prayed, and he looked to the public and says, I am not like him. I'm not like that sinner. But the reason why people think to themselves that they are good people, well, there's two reasons for that. The first reason why people think that they're actually good people when they're not is because they compare themselves to the wrong standard. They compare themselves to the wrong standard. The Pharisee looked up, he saw the publican, and he used the publican as what he was going to compare himself with. And he says, look at the lifestyle, look at the sin, I am not like him. And how many people today, when they look around themselves and when they hear the preacher preaching and they say, well, I need to get to Christ, and the preacher warns them to flee from their sin, they say, that's for someone else. That's for the person who I know, they were out on the Friday night living in sin. That's for them, it's not for me, because I'm better than so and so. But not just did he compare himself to the wrong standard, he thought of sins that he hadn't committed or struggled with. The Pharisees didn't live a life of adultery. The Pharisees didn't live a life of unjustness or stealing or extortion. But they did live a life of pride. They did live a life of boastfulness. And so the Pharisee, what he did was he selected certain sins and says, well, I haven't committed this, that, or the other thing. Therefore, I'm a righteous man. And I wonder if you come to the house of God and you say, well, I haven't committed such and such. I haven't committed that sin. That person, he has. And he needs Jesus. But not me. Look at the things that I haven't committed. But yet the Bible reminds us that every single one of us have broken His law. And if you were to set the law of God before us as revealed in the Ten Commandments, you would have broken it at some point. You would have to acknowledge, as it says in Romans 3 and 18, that we are all guilty before God. And every mouth will be stopped. The Pharisee's praying meant nothing. And it did nothing. It went no further. You know, you can come to the house of God tonight. And you can offer a prayer. You can pray. But if you pray with a self-righteous attitude and a belief that you yourself can be justified with God based on what you do, your prayer will do nothing. And your prayer will mean nothing. But what about the publican's prayer? And the publican in verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Why was he standing afar off? Well, historians actually tell us that when the Pharisees had offered their sacrifice in the temple, the Pharisees would actually go around the inner court of the temple and they would find the sinners, they would find the publicans, and they would put them out. They would put them as far away from the mercy seat as possible. They would send them out. And that's what I believe why the publican was standing afar off, because he was put out. Put out by the Pharisee who thought he was more righteous than him. But notice his actions, notice how he approaches this prayer. He wouldn't even lift his eyes onto heaven, but rather he smote his breast. And the actions of not lifting up his head, the action of smiting his chest, this was a man, this was a sign of a man who was feeling the weight of a sin. This was a man who was not planning to be or outwardly showy or anything else, but because of the weight of the sin that he was under, these were unplanned, unrestrained expressions of emotion. He just felt the weight of a sin and he bowed his head. And he felt as if he had to hit himself. Such was the heinousness of the sin within himself. The Jews commonly didn't do that. They weren't normally an expressionate people as they prayed. And so this was unplanned and unrestrained. In the midst of his agony, in the midst of his woe, in the midst of his beating of his chest, he prays these words, five simple words. God be merciful to me. God be merciful to me. Now this actually is the most important part This is the most important phrase in this entire narrative. These men were different in the lifestyles and the men that they were are. They were different in the lifestyles that they lived. But this is where they really go completely different. This man said, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." He confessed that he was a sinner. He confessed that he was like the chief of sinners. But he uses that phrase, look with me there, "merciful to me." And the idea behind that word in the original is that God would show mercy to him, or that God would be propitiated, that God would be appeased, or that God would be satisfied. And so what he is really saying to this, God, apply the benefits. God, be satisfied with the atonement that I have made. You might be saying, well, what atonement? What sacrifice? As I mentioned throughout the message, the Pharisee would have went and he would have offered a sacrifice, but the publican would have made the sacrifice. And when the publican made the sacrifice, and when he was put out of the temple, and when he bowed his head, and when he smote his chest and he prayed, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner," when he prayed those words, he had the understanding. He had the understanding that the sacrifice had to be made in order that his sins would be forgiven. He was saying, "God, look, I have made the sacrifice that speaks that there will one who will come and pay the ultimate sacrifice. That lamb or that calf or bullock has taken my sin. My sin has been laid in it. God, I've offered it. Now be appeased. God, be satisfied." And he wasn't saying, "Listen, God, look at the works that I have done." He wasn't trying to attempt to cancel his debt by himself. But he put his entire weight and his entire trust for eternity upon the sacrifice that was made. And sinner, tonight, there has been a sacrifice made. The Lord Jesus Christ went to that altar at Calvary and he died in your place. He took the punishment of your sin for the life of guilt that you had lived. And it's upon the basis of that sacrifice that you can be forgiven tonight. That you can have your sin cleansed. And I wonder tonight, what will you do? As you're here in the house of God. And the gospel always brings men and women to the point of decision. No one ever leaves the house of God neutral. No one ever leaves the house of God indifferent. Every single individual here tonight will either say, "I'm going out depending on my own works," or "I am going out depending upon the works of another." Every one of us here tonight will say, "I am going out and I am going to play with God. I am going to attempt to get into heaven by who I am and what I am." And there will be those who will humbly walk out and say, "It is only for the grace of God I am what I am." In conclusion tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ finishes off this parable in verse number 14. Who found the right way to be right with God? Which man found the way in which they could have that relationship with their Creator? Well, it doesn't matter what I tell you. It doesn't matter what my opinion in this is, because Christ gives his own opinion. And you can almost see the Pharisees standing there, and they're listening, and they're eager. Who's going to leave justified? And within their hearts, they're thinking to themselves, well, it's bound to be the Pharisee. We hope it's the Pharisee. But Christ says, "I tell you, I tell you that this man, the publican, went to his house justified, just as if he had never sinned." The etymology of that word justified, whenever you look at it and when you do the different, take a look at it in different ways, it's perfect in the way that it is. It's a perfect work. This man was perfectly forgiven. He was perfectly justified. All of his sin was taken and atoned for. But it not just was a perfect work, it was also a permanent work. It was a never-ending work within this man's heart. He had been forgiven not just for time, but for eternity. And because he had accepted the atonement that had been made, he was justified before God. You can imagine how the Pharisees had felt. You can imagine that perhaps there's a man standing there about 40 to 50 years of age. And for his entire life, he had been keeping the oral laws and oral tradition. For his entire life, he'd been living an outwardly righteous life. For his entire life, he'd been going to the temple and offering sacrifices and saying his prayers and giving of everything as a tithe to God. And in that moment when Christ spoke, it all meant nothing. It meant nothing. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was more concerned about the future of individuals rather than their feelings. And tonight I am more concerned about your eternity rather than how the gospel makes you feel. I want to tell you tonight, if you have come to the house of God and you have been living a life and you have been trying to get to heaven by your own good works, you will end up in God's hell. But if you come tonight and utter the same words with the same heart, with the same belief as the publican, God be merciful, God be appeased to me because of the sacrifice of Christ that was made, you will go home tonight justified in the eyes of God. How will you go home tonight? How will you go home? Will you go home tonight depending on yourself? Or will you go home tonight depending upon Christ? I trust tonight that you will leave. That you will leave like the publican. I trust tonight that you will leave having put your trust in Jesus Christ. Having to come to Him alone for salvation. Or else you'll be lost. Be lost. God, be merciful to me. I trust tonight that you will even say those words.